Where's Mr.
Welcome to Mighty House.
This is a radio show for people with problems.
Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 847-475-1590.
From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
All right, I'm Ron Calgar. The Mighty House team is back. You can join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. Again, just go to Facebook Live, and you can watch us right now. And if you're having trouble, Trixie will actually walk you through. So if you were watching during the last break there, if you're having trouble finding us on Facebook Live, give Trixie a call at 877-711-5611. That number again, 877-711-5611. Give Trixie a call, and she'll talk you through it and get you all set up on Facebook Live.
So I asked people to call her this morning, but nobody did.
Oh, no. People have been calling her. It's funny. Even with the new number, it's working. So we're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. And you can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 877-711-5611, Trixie will help you through getting on Facebook Live and being able to watch us there. And are you looking for a luxury kitchen at an affordable price?
Yes.
Don't go any further than alinecabinets.com. That's A-L-I-N-E cabinets.com. See, there go the phones, Robbie. They're cranking up now.
Cool.
Yeah. So we wanted to get into this. We've been saying, what did you say? Okay. So we wanted to get into this, and we started a little bit on the first hour talking about what happened this week. We posted a couple of videos on Facebook Live and on our YouTube channel, and it's basically Mike Novak's attic.
Okay.
And I think that's what we're calling this segment now, is Mike Novak's attic. What did we find in Mike Novak's attic? And so we're gonna go with that, and that's going to be the name of this segment, I think. And so, are you there, Mike?
I am here.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Hi, Mike.
I'm okay. I'm sitting upstairs in my warm, toasty upstairs, and just talking to you on the phone.
Excellent.
Hey, Mike Novak. I know that everybody knows who you are. However,
nobody knows who I am. But
there might be a few people who don't. So, yes, I was hoping that you could do a little intro. We had Richie Z on earlier talking, and he just went right into talking, and we're like, who are you, Richie Z? So, Mike Novak, who are you? If you could give us a little intro so that people are like...
Well, I'm a legend in my own garden, basically.
Okay.
I do a radio show. Did you know I do a radio show?
Really?
I knew that, but don't be sarcastic. We already have one guy wearing a sarcasm shirt
it's
today.
It's kind of a standard joke with friends of mine. They always say, you have a radio show?
You're also a singer.
On, Sunday morning.
You're also a Frozen what? Robin. You're also a Frozen Robin.
I've been known to warble in the wintertime.
But when is your radio show on?
And I'm on Sunday mornings, 9 to 11, right here on Chicago Smart Talk 1590 WCGO.
Okay, and your show is about... What?
Oh, I don't know. Environment and green living and gardening and local foods and all that cool stuff. So tune in tomorrow morning.
It's all tree hugger stuff. How's that? I'll just wrap
exactly.
it up.
Exactly. And if you don't like to hug trees, then don't listen. Okay, just go somewhere else.
All right. Now we know who you are. Continued conversation, please.
Okay. Now that we've got the proper introduction completed there, Mike, We thought we were going to tackle a little project in your house. It'd probably take a day and a half to 2 days, right? Isn't that what we started out with?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, simple little thing. Let's, because I, hey, listen, I had it half finished.
Uh-huh.
I, you know, about, I want to say like 15 years ago, I rolled out all this insulation in my attic of my 130-year-old home, and it was only after I rolled out all that insulation that I discovered I put in about half as much as I really needed.
Mm-hmm.
And 15 years later, I finally bit the bullet and said, Ron, no, I wasn't going to finish it, because I, after I rolled that, did that myself,
mm-hmm.
I said, never again. I will never, ever do that again.
Well, what was your first problem?
So I thought, let's get the pros out here, and we'll do it right, because they can get this machine, and they can blow in cellulose, and
uh-huh.
not do that. So
but what was your first
that's
problem?
Where you came in to come and finish the job.
Okay, so what was your first problem, though? Why? When? What time
Are
of year
there?
Did you... Hey, Johnny, he can't hear us. I don't know what you got.
Oh, I can hear you now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I can hear you now.
Okay, so what was the first problem, though? What time of year did you do this?
Are you accusing me of hiring you at the wrong time of year?
No, I'm saying, when did you do it? You put the original fiberglass in. What time of year did you do that, and why was it so difficult?
Oh, I think I probably did it in the summer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, because you know, you don't want to go crawling around up there when it's zero.
Yes, you do.
So,
yes, you
I
do.
Thought, okay,
especially
let's,
fiberglass.
Why?
Yeah, I guess so.
Why do you want to go up there when it's zero?
Because it's a lot better to work up there in zero weather than it is to be up there when it's 120.
Well, then why not pick like 40 degree or 50 degree?
You could do
that
too.
That's even better yet. But the other side of that is that when it's cold out, the pores of your skin are closed and fiberglass will not become itchy. Where in the summer, all your pores are open because you're sweating, and that fiberglass gets in there and it can make you really miserable.
Then you're just itching and scratching like crazy all the time.
That's a cartoon.
Although I will tell you, because I knew about that, I bundled up.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was covered from head to foot. I had gloves on. I just made sure that I wasn't going to get that fiberglass on me. Unfortunately, I was doing a little bit of sweat,
yes.
as you can probably
mm-hmm.
imagine.
Yes. So yeah. The other thing you can do is take talcum powder or baby powder and wipe the exposed skin down first before you go in there. And that'll help keep the itching down also.
That's a good tip.
Mm-hmm. See? There you go. So,
However, Ron, you did say something.
Yeah.
Ron, you said something the other day that I thought was kind of interesting. And I actually think it's really important. You think that somewhere down the line, because I don't think it's registered as this now, you think that fiberglass is going to be considered a carcinogen.
Yes. Yes, I do. Because the fiberglass particles get stuck in your lungs and then it can start causing problems. And I think, you know, fiberglass insulation is going to be the next problem that for air quality testing and stuff like that. If it's in an attic, an exposed attic, you're okay. But they made ductwork out of that stuff. So, you know, the ductwork that's blowing
still
air
do.
Through. Yeah. And so now you've got this fiberglass, you know, these fine particles blowing around in the air and you're breathing it in. So I just don't think that's going to be good for you long term. And that's where I think that stuff is going to be going away in the future. So, but anyway, so what we did with Mike's house, since he did part of it, the first thing we had to do was cut through into another part. We did a Geraldo segment, and we cut from the main part of the attic over into the old part of the attic that no one had been in there in 130 years.
130 years?
Yes.
For reals?
For real.
Okay.
Yeah. Since the house was built.
For real, yeah. There was a dormer, and it had been sealed off, and we don't know why. Well, you think you know why, Ron,
yeah.
right?
It was just built that way, because they built,
yeah.
They put all the skip sheathing on the roof rafters, and then you build the other roof to it, and there was no reason to cut through there, so it never got cut through. So that's how it works.
Oh,
so what did you find?
We actually...
What did you find back there?
There was nothing.
No.
Come on.
130 like years of dust.
An old newspaper.
Nothing.
No. Geraldo Rivera was up there.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly it.
But what, you know, we actually skipped a step here, and that was before I laid in all that fiberglass, those many years ago. I had to have the guys come out in the hazmat suits because we had vermiculite in the attic, asbestos vermiculite, which was a very popular kind of insulation back in the day. But, as, you know, you talked about carcinogens and fiberglass. Well, you know, we all know what asbestos can do to you. So,
all right, we got a quick break. We'll be back. Hang on.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you want to give us a call, we have a new number, 877-711-5611. That's 877-711-5611. That's our international toll-free number to call Mighty House.
Nice.
Well, any other show here, too. But we'll say that's just for Mighty House. Okay, so we were talking to Mike Novak, and we were in his attic this past week.
I know I got cut off by the music there. And
yes.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that, but before, you know, folks need to know that some of the old houses had really nasty stuff in them. And like I said, we had in our house this vermiculite up there. And so we had to hire these guys to come out, and they came in hazmat suits, and they had to, you know, put plastic around the house, inside of the house, so the stuff wouldn't blow around. And we wouldn't be inhaling asbestos. And they came and sucked all of that stuff out of there. And that was before I could even go up and do the work on the rolling out the fiberglass batting.
Mm-hmm.
And that was years ago. And so now we come fast forward to this week, and you come out with your crew. And as you said, you were saying the first step was to open up this dormer that which had nothing in it for 130 years, which is true. But actually, the first step was we looked around, and as you know, the upstairs of my house is not particularly modern.
No.
And in fact, most of the lights up here had pull chains on them.
Yes, you walked into the middle of the bedroom.
Wall switches. So Rob says, well, you know, maybe you want some wall switches on there. And if you're going to do that, you want to do it before you put in the extra insulation, because otherwise then it's a mess to try to go in and fix it. And I said, yeah, let's do it. Let's put some wall switches in there. So you guys were doing that. And that's where all the fun started, wasn't it?
Yes, because all the wires are really, really old. They were brittle. As soon as you start taking things apart, the insulation just fell off the wires. So as we're trying to fix one thing, we end up having to take out all these sections, and we ended up just basically almost rewiring the entire second floor just to be able to get it cleaned up to where it was safe, so that way, once all the boxes were set, all the holes were drilled, then we went around with the great stuff, foam and sealed all around the electrical boxes. Anywhere there was a hole going down through the plates for the electrical switches, or where the plumbing stack came up, we air sealed around. All that stuff got sealed up, so that way no air can just come right up through there. That air sealing helps hold all that heat down and the cool air conditioning down on the second floor. Second step was we put in all of the baffles, and those go between each rafter, which I found interesting. We've been talking for years. We've got to put these baffles in, but Mike really never understood what we were talking about by putting these baffles between the rafters. That way it kept the insulation from getting tight up against the backside of the roof so that it can still breathe properly. I don't know. You want to comment on that real quick, Mike?
Yeah, I do, because I had listened to you guys, like you said, I'd listened to you talk about this for years. And it wasn't until I actually saw the baffles and how you installed them that I had even a clue as to what you were talking about. And I think that you guys could do yourselves a favor by taking a photograph of this, and whenever you're talking insulation, highlight that. Just get that on the homepage of wherever you're talking about insulation. Show people what a baffle is for your attic, and what they can expect. Because I thought, yeah, you were going to put in half a dozen of them or so. You had them. How many did you put in upstairs? Do you think?
Over 60. Between
okay,
there was a total of between that and the attic over the kitchen. I think we did a total of 80, a little over 80 of them.
Yeah,
so, but
they're not expensive anyway. So it's an important step in keeping the house breathing
correct
properly.
Correct,
but it does
right,
get skipped.
Right, right, right. But to see, I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't know what they're and the ones you put in were made of expanded polystyrene or styrofoam.
Right.
And they're up. And did you say, Ron, that they can be made of plastic as well?
Sure, you could do recycled plastic. There's some people that just take strips of cardboard and staple that to the backside of the rafter all the way across, and then they can blow up against that. You can use plywood, all kinds of stuff. But, you know, these are pre-made baffles, and they're just a lot easier to shoot in because they're pre-made. So, you know.
Right.
And they're
right. So I'm just saying that there's a lot of people out there like me who are listening right now, and you say baffle, and they have. I'm trying to imagine what's
I'm
in their brain
I'm waiting for you to
right
say
now.
That what? They're baffled. Please, just say it, Mike.
No, that, I'm leaving that up to you, Robbie.
They're baffled.
People are just baffled.
There you go. Thank you.
Now, Ron, did you happen to take your infrared gun there and show him the roof to the ceiling to wall connection?
Yeah.
And show that? Because now that you've got the baffles in there and more insulation, it's just not going to make it go away 100%, but there should be a huge difference in
yes.
that temperature.
No, and I should go back there next week. Maybe that's a good idea is to shoot that. Because we did the thermal gun before, and we found some massive holes in the walls and stuff that he's going to have to address.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's really...
Yeah, Rod was upstairs in my house, and we're upstairs, and this is before we put the insulation in, and he's shooting the walls, and he goes, I know. He goes, ooh, what's that? And it looks like there's a huge, I mean, there's like a purple stain on the gun there because it's so cold.
Yeah.
And he said, I think you got a hole in your wall there. I went, oh, great, thanks. And it's behind another one. It's behind the plaster. So I would have to dig through the plaster and open it up and see where the hole is. So that's something to look forward to in the future.
Yes. So, you know, the thing was, I think it was probably in the 20s outside, and that section of wall was, I think it was like 40 degrees. So, and then the rest of the walls were in the 70s. So, you know, that just tells you how bad of a leak there was.
Big air leak there.
Yeah. So, we'll have to go back and take the thermal gun back there and see how it looks now that we've got the attic completed. So
yeah, it's good.
Once all the electric was done, we air sealed everything. We cut the holes through. We put all those baffles in, and then we went through and tried to get the because when you go to the store and you buy all the blown in insulation, all the cellulose, they give you the machine to use. So we get the machine out there, we get started up, get everything hooked up, and start blowing. And there's chunks of plastic that someone had shoved down into the machine. There was wire that was all tangled into the blowers. We ended up disassembling the entire thing. It took two guys about 3 hours to disassemble.
No.
Yes. To disassemble this machine. Yes. Completely disassembled it, cleaned it all up, put everything back together, and then we start blowing again, and another chunk came from another part. So we had to take it all apart again. I mean, it was a nightmare getting that machine
going.
Where
are you getting parts from?
Big Blue.
No, but I mean, why was it, where were the wires and plastics coming from?
They were down in the hopper, in the spool, the blowers, you know, because there's like an auger.
Right, I get that, but after you cleaned it out, where'd you get more?
There was some back in behind the auger that we didn't see when the guys were doing it the first time.
So consumer advocate here, do you take it back and say, we spent 3 hours cleaning this out?
Yeah.
What's the deal?
And they said, thanks.
But you have taken it back and gotten a different
one. Well, they got his rental fee all back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, because it was free already. If you buy if you buy 20 bags, it's free. So they said thanks for cleaning
it. So did they give you any discount on this?
No. No.
What?
No. Did you not think to call Robbie?
No.
She would cry. She would just stand there and cry.
Yeah.
And then she would start tearing the place apart.
We talked to the manager and he said, oh, that was very nice of you to clean it out for us. The problem was we couldn't take it back and get a different one because they only have one. You know, so you can't go back and get a different one. So
my feeling
they're not gonna
is you
fix
hold it hostage. You say,
yeah.
You hold it hostage. You say, you're never seeing this machine again until we get a discount.
So here's, right. Here's the thing. The first day is free, and then after that, you got to buy it. You have to pay for the rental. So we did get that off. We got second day free.
Oh, okay. So you got the second day.
Correct.
All right.
Correct. Yeah, so, then the next day we came in, we were able to get all that stuff blown in and get that all taken care of, and hopefully it makes a big difference.
Well, not quite.
Yeah.
What you didn't tell them was that in my house, there's a separate attic area above the kitchen because the house was built in pieces.
Right.
And it's not connected to the area over the living room.
Correct.
And the other part of the house. So there's this whole little separate area, which, again, whatever, 12 or 15 years ago, I went in and I rolled out the fiberglass bats. There's an entryway the size of a milk chute, okay?
If that.
If that. And I managed to get through it whenever it was, when I crawled through, but your guys looked at it and said, no, we're not going to do that.
Mike, I got one arm and a head to that hole. That was it. That's all I could get in there. I could not get through there.
So they got the Sawzall out, and they opened that space up, and then they had to go in and put the baffles in there and put the extra insulation in there as well. So that was a whole separate deal.
Yes, yes. Yeah, exactly. And then Bill, one of our guys that was there, said, oh, I got a brilliant idea. Why don't we just put a light at the top of the stairs here? And then we'll have that switched with the existing light that's downstairs. Great idea. It should take 15, 20 minutes. 3 hours later.
No!
Yep, because the wiring that was from the upstairs switch to the downstairs switch was completely goofed up. And for those electricians out there that know, it was a farmer's three-way. So we had to figure that out. But that's what we call it, is a farmer's three-way. It wasn't conventional. So we disassembled everything and rewired all of it so that, oh, by the way, Mike, all of those lights were hot all the time, and they switched the neutrals. So just so you know.
Nice.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how that was used to be wired.
Go ahead. All right, we'll be right back.
Yeah, all right. Thanks. And we're also going to talk about some ways to insulate your walls next. We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on it.
This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you can join us right now on Facebook Live, and it is brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. And with that, again, Mike's stuck around. We got one more segment here. And Mike Novak is on the phone. And if you don't know Mike, you can check out his show tomorrow. What time are you on tomorrow, Mike?
9 to 11 a.m. right here on 1590 Chicago's Smart Talk.
Excellent. And you can go see, we've got it posted on Facebook and on our YouTube channel. So you can go to YouTube, do a search for Mighty House, and you'll find our YouTube channel there. And we've got all videos of the step one, where we talk about what you need to do with the attic. So Mike and I are up in his attic doing that. And then we've got the second part that I did just to wrap up how we did it and what happened and stuff like that. So
yeah. And you know, we got a bunch of, like 1,000 people have looked at the first video already.
Oh wow.
To see what we were doing up there. Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny though. You were talking about the light switch, the farmer's three-way.
Yes.
And the way you remember it is you just do this little ditty, farmer's three-way, bum ba dum ba 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 bum. So.
Yes, and it's not legal to use that anymore, but people.
It's not.
No. You cannot switch to neutral.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't done recently.
No. No. That was
well,
done.
Well, no, wait. Oh, yes, but Rich, I will tell you, when back in the day when we bought this house and I came in and that switch was nasty. It was, it sometimes worked and it sometimes didn't. So I opened it up and I went in there and I had my handy dandy little guide with me and I kept looking at, okay, the black wire goes here and the white wire goes here. And I made it work. And
yes.
So it was actually in pretty good shape, except that, well, Ron and his people couldn't do anything with it. They did, actually. They added that extra light to it, so that was cool.
Right. But the way it was wired, we couldn't. So the only time we had power at the switches is when the light was off. When you turn the light on, you didn't get any power. So... but that's why, because they were switching neutrals. So we figured all that out.
Yikes.
Yeah, and then, of course,
you
open up all the switches and everything, and now all those old wires, they're all black. So
right.
They're all black. So you got to try – all the paint has come off of the wires. So you got to go through, test each one. And that's what I told Kathleen, Mike, is that I absolutely love that. I have a blast doing that stuff and trying to make that
work. Sure, especially if you're billing by the hour, not by the switch.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that's something.
It's a tough diagnosis.
Yes, it's not something that, you know, everybody can just go in and do, and it takes a little takes a little thinking to get it done. So, to me, that's cool stuff. I love doing it. So.
Well, and like I said, once the insulation's that old, you know, it's not like you just grab the switch, pull it out of the wall. You have to gingerly kind of pull things out. Otherwise, you know, you don't want to put it in shock.
Right, and you know you don't want the insulation breaking off of it and even causing more problems. So,
was his wiring in pipe at least, or was it still
No. It's all in BX.
BX.
Yeah. It's the old BX stuff. It's better than the knob and tube. So, but Mike's house. Get this, Rich. Mike's house is so old that
how old is it?
That there is. Half-inch gas line running through the attic, dropping down to all the light locations.
For all the lights.
Because it had originally gas lights.
Yep.
Okay. So that's one cool thing there. Just a couple things, because we got some phone calls to get to, Mike, and then I wanted to cover this, too, is the next step for you. People were saying, okay, you did the attic. How do I do the walls now? How can I do something?
Ceiling.
To the walls and get those tightened up. So that was one question we had. So there's a couple options there. And one was what we were talking about you doing, because the next step, you've got a guy coming in that's going to repair all the drywall or plaster and replace a lot of it, is when you open that up, you can just blow the insulation into the walls and insulate those walls before you put the drywall back up. But that can get to be an expensive proposal if you're going to take all that down. So
what we did is I just had a company that do wall fill where they just bore an 1.5 inch hole and they just blast in the cellulose, and then you only have to patch the holes at every stud space.
Correct. So that's the other thing. The nice thing about Mike's house is when I use the thermal gun, I can see every stud in the wall.
Right.
Because there's such a huge difference in the temperature of the wall where there's a stud and where there isn't. So during the winter, I can point out each stud, And we could drill the holes and then blow it in that way too. So those are
that's the most cost effective.
Yes. And you can do that from inside or outside. Either way works.
Yep.
But if you have aluminum siding, it's a little more difficult. Mike's got wood siding, so he could just drill the hole and he just take that and plug it right back up when you're done. So
the one I did was about 100 years old, and we did it from outside, but we were going to re-side the house. So when we got done, we put the plugs in, but put up our fan fold and then re-sided.
Yep.
So, but that was the time to do it, you know?
Correct.
So you go to the homeowner, hey, I know your budget's tight, but here's $3,000 I think you should spend.
Yes. So I think that's going to be your next step now, Mike?
You think it can be done, so as what you're telling me is there's ways to do it to fill in that balloon frame and not break the bank.
Right. Well, see, now you even have a more unique opportunity because of the balloon framing.
Balloon framed.
So you have studs that go from the foundation all the way up to the roof. So you can drop that hose down each stud space when you're on the second floor and just fill it up as you come up through there and not even have to mess with the first floor. Only the place you'd have to drill holes is underneath the windows. So
how do you know, as you're doing that, how do you know that you filled it properly?
So, again, downstairs, we would be down there with the thermal imaging gun watching it. So you'll see the insulation getting filled up with the thermal imaging gun. And you can see where it's at. So it if you get any voids or anything like that, we'll be able to see that with the gun. So it turns out to be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds great. Well, so just to let you guys know that on the second day, the end of the second day, I was there for part of the first day, but I couldn't. I had lots of stuff going on the second day. So I call Ron at the end of the second day. I say, how things are going? Ron says to me, your house is kicking my ass.
Oh.
And I apologize, but you know, I got to defend my house a little bit. It's, you know, I love my old house, but it's got a lot of surprises in it, unfortunately. And Ron found them all.
Yes, yeah, we touched on them, and I like it. The perseverance, you know, we prevailed over the house and we won. So. You know, that's a good thing. So
there you go.
I appreciate you letting us come in and do that, Mike. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
in hindsight.
Hey, listen,
in hindsight.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
I got all kinds of jobs for you. Come on back. Bring the crew.
All right, cool. So, all right, we got another phone call to get to before the end of the show here. So I appreciate the time, Mike, and letting us shoot the Facebook Live in there and then also coming on to talk about the experience.
And I'll tell you, the thing I'm most grateful for this morning is that you let me know there's a new phone number.
Yes. Yeah. 877-711-5611. There's your show prep. I helped you out with show prep, buddy.
I'm sure the memo is coming any day for me about that. I'll probably see it sometime.
Yeah, you will tomorrow when you walk in the studio. That's how I found it.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, our recorded stuff has still got the old number. So. Yeah.
So, oh, one
hey,
more.
Listen, let me.
Yeah.
One more quick thing, though. In seriousness, Ron's crew are the best.
And
Ron never promotes DR services on the show, and good for him that he doesn't.
Yeah.
But, if you want a quality company, you hire him. You can get Ron a call and get his folks out there because they know what they're doing. I am very, very grateful to you guys for coming out and doing it right. So thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right. Wait.
Checks in the mail.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I knew you were going to play that, but we don't have a thanks, Ron Cowgill.
No, we don't.
But we do have a website, which is RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
No. All right. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Take care. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Bye. All right. And I'm sorry. Who's this last person real quick? Hey, Catherine. Go ahead. We got about 2 minutes. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. The show's over in 2 minutes?
This segment is, yeah.
Oh, okay, because it's longer. I wanted to ask about doors, and I wanted to give a shout-out to the people who installed my appliances today from RAS Delivery. There was a subcontract called Matthew and Tommy, and they did a great job.
Okay.
After the last time when I was the one who they put the dishwasher on top of the hoses.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Not happy with Grand Appliance in Madison at all.
Wow.
Anyway, I want to replace doors, and you said that it was hard to use secondhand ones, and I have that crappy plastic door that's supposed to be ingrained, looks like oak, and I was wondering if I could paint them, or what do I do for secondhand? Can I hang on to the others?
So if you have that, like the vinyl covered door that's fake oak.
Yeah, the one with the grooves that looks really horrible.
I'm so sorry.
So I wanted to go to Habitat, but you were saying it's hard for me to find the right door and put it on.
Yeah, the door size isn't it.
Go ahead, Rich. Explain it.
I mean, the best thing to do is, if the frames and everything and your hinges are fine, the best thing to do is you can go to a box store and get doors for $20 or $30 a piece because you only need slabs. But you need to find somebody willing to come in and hang them. And with the current labor situation and so on, you know, to most guys, that's a small job. So you might have to find a handyman or somebody willing to come in and hang all the doors for you. But I would just leave the frames and just hang the doors.
Yeah. So when you go to Habitat, take a framing square with you or ask them for one. They may have one around. Check to make sure that the doors that you're looking at are square. The old ones could have been cut up and cut at angles, and then it may not work. So measure your frame openings and then make sure when you're looking at the doors that they're the same thickness and that they're square. You know, so those are going to be two big things you want to look at. Oh, wait, hang on a second. We'll be right back.
Hold on.
Sure.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
All right. We're back, and we're going to just go straight to the phones here. Get back on. We were talking doors, and if you were listening during the break there too, you got a great little ditty about Robbie's mom's door. So if you watch on Facebook Live, you hear everything going on during the breaks, all the weird stories that we talk about. So let's get back to finding doors. Are you going to prep these doors out too?
You mean as in painting?
Yes.
It depends. Yeah, tell me about painting.
Okay, so if you find a door that's painted and you want to refinish it, there are a lot of companies out there that will dip them and strip them down. I would look into something like that. There's also places that have UV lights that will actually heat them up, melt the paint on them, and then scrape them down and clean them up for you. So it's a job.
Okay.
It's a job you can do yourself. If you find an old door that's really got a lot of character to it, you can take a heat gun and go ahead and do all that stuff or put strippers on it and clean it up. But you can also take them in. And to me, that's the best money spent. If they dip a door and give it back to you, and it costs you $70 a door or whatever, $60 a door, that is money well spent. So, your time is worth something.
He was saying just that there are slab doors at Home Depot, inexpensive.
$40.
Yeah.
For a 2-4, like a 6-panel masonite door, you're looking at 40. But if you wanted flush, they're, 30-35. And, you could shop around. But by doing that, you're going to get the most common sizes. Your doors are probably almost all 2'6" and 2'4".
Right.
So by 80 inches, that's pretty standard.
If that's the wheelchair accessible, because this originally was HUD and was supposed to be accessible for disabled.
Okay, so then you might have a 30.
Well, then they may be larger, but they'll still be more or less a stock door.
Right. So
And
you might want to look for, if you're looking for a solid door versus the hollow core, look for an MDF door that's solid. Those are really good ones if you're going to buy new from Home Depot. The MDF door will stay stable. It doesn't warp or crack. And when you paint it, you get a nice good finish on them, too. So,
How about front doors?
Fiberglass.
Can you just fiberglass?
Yep.
Okay, because the condo association wants to do more, and I know this one is going on me, so fiberglass is the way to go for the front door.
It's the only way to go.
Yep.
Only way. I don't like steel.
Only way to go.
Yeah, steel will dent and and then it scratches up and it doesn't look good. Wood doors can split and they fall apart and they can rot. Fiberglass will last you forever. So
okay, that sounds great.
So
well, Happy New Year, guys. I appreciate it. I'll be calling in again.
Great. That's what we're here for.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Talk
to you.
Bye. Yes, Robbie.
Okay. On the Facebook Live, James, if you're still watching, this is a while ago, you said on your second floor you have a storage crawl that runs the length of the house.
Mm-hmm.
The ceiling follows the roof line.
Mm-hmm.
The interior wall is insulated and the floor is insulated. How do I insulate the ceiling?
That backside of the roof?
I don't know.
Of that ceiling? He might need to call in.
You know what it is they did not put solid blocking at the rafters, mm-hmm. so you're getting cold air into the ceiling, which is actually the floor of that storage area, and that's a common problem even in brand new homes.
Yes. Yeah, that's an area that doesn't get air sealed properly at all.
At all.
So what you need to do on those, we call those knee walls, those short walls that go from the roof down to the floor on the, in that space, you need to insulate and air seal the backside of that. You can drywall it and put up something like that, or you can even use foam board, cut the foam board, put it up, tape your seams, caulk it to the floor, and that's one way to do it. And then you cut your flooring out and make sure you have that foam board go all the way down to the drywall on the floor below and seal that all up, because you don't want that air going down and in underneath the second floor.
Well, and if it's his floor joists that are actually the issue, the floor joists are set right next to the rafters, so they'll mm-hmm. still be on the same 16-inch centers, but you do the exact same thing. 2-inch rigid foam, cut it in 14.5 by 10-inch pieces, jam that down between the rafter, down behind the plywood there, right. Down to the top plate, and then just take any kind of caulking compound, whatever, and just smear it, smear.
That's the technical
all the way around
to
air seal mm-hmm. it. And that'll stop that cold air from getting into the floor box structure.
Right. So, but the backside of that little crawl area.
That knee wall, same thing.
That knee wall, whatever. The backside of the roof, which is the ceiling of that little triangular space, technically you don't need to insulate that. Now, if you're going to use that space and make it usable, then they're talking a different ballgame. So then you would want to put the baffles in, we were talking about before. Put those baffles in all the way up from the bottom plate, all the way up past the top plate of your knee wall, and then you can insulate the backside of that with whatever thickness fiber insulation works, and then you can drywall the backside of the roof. But you would need to be able to let that breathe. That air needs to be able to travel from the soffits up through to the main part of the attic. And if you close that all off, you're going to start creating mold and problems like that. So
yes,
there's a lot that goes on with those little spaces. There's a bunch of different ways to tackle them. So you just we can also close them up completely, but I would call a contractor out and have them actually talk you through it. Innovative Insulation is a great company, and you can call them out. They'll look at it and tell you, here's how we can do it. Here are the couple options we can do. And get you squared away and make sure you're air sealed and insulated properly. So Innovative Insulation, it's gotfoaminsulation.com is their info. So
beautiful.
Is that good? Where are we, Johnny?
4 minutes.
Four minutes. Okay. Okay, cool. So 2 and 2. Is that what was that show that we went 2 and 2? What was that where they used to do that?
I don't
remember. That was some game show. We'll be back in 2 and 2. Okay. Don't remember. Robbie?
I'm just listening to you guys talk about 2 and 2.
Two and two? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, last thing. What did we learn today? Should we
balance your checkbook.
Okay. And not wait 6 months?
Right.
Okay. What else did we learn?
Something about Mike's attic.
Mike's attic.
We learned 45 minutes of talk about Mike's attic.
Yes.
I don't really.
Yeah. Of how to you air do all your electric work before you insulate your attic. Do all the electric work. Get that all done. Air seal around all those penetrations that are coming up into
absolutely.
The attic. Put in your insulation baffles if your attic is set up to breathe that way, and then you blow in your insulation. Just don't get the machine and go in there and start blowing insulation around, because it's not gonna do what you want it to do if you don't do the air sealing and the other stuff first. The only reason we're doing the electric first is so that way we don't go in later and trample it. And then that insulation's no good.
So, like, Mike Novak has no reason to ever enter his attic again.
No. He ain't got no reason to go up there.
Or the ability.
No, he can still get up through there. He can still get up through
there. No, but you got 20 inches of cellulose over the top.
So. Exactly. That's exactly it. All right. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show and of our Mike Novak's attic segment are on our YouTube channel, and they're also at MightyHouse.net. The conversation
and they'll be linked into the newsletter.
Yes, they will. The conversation continues all week long on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And next week, we'll have another Mighty House Tip of the Week. We'll have Clutter Clarity. In between that, we'll be taking your phone calls. Thanks to Mike Novak for joining us today and talking about his attic and letting us make fun of him. We always appreciate that. That's always good. So,
yes.
You know who's standing in the wings?
Yes, we do.
We got all these biker dudes out and biker chicks out in the foyer waiting to get in. So they're going to talk Harleys and other types of motorcycles next. For Rich Cowgill and Robbie Earhart, I'm Ron Cowgill. Keep it square and level.
Until next Saturday.
If you have any questions during the week, you can always post them on Facebook and Twitter. Join us next Saturday for more home infotainment. Mighty House is a Square and Level Media production. Mighty House.